Thanks. I enjoyed your sharing, Barb, very much. It's just beautiful what Robert Adams shares, and that I just really resonate with all of it. So it's a joy to listen to it, really. And I appreciate you doing that. Wanted to say hello to everybody here in the room, as well as anybody that might be tuning in on the radio. It's been a bit of a bumpy week for me, just on a physical level. And so I have been to urgent care 3 times for an infected nail. And so lots of opportunities with those experiences to, I remember, quite some time ago, when Regina, I believe, was still living in North Carolina, she recorded about, ex oh no, no, she was not in North Carolina. She was living with Danielle at that time because she had an extreme episode of pain for a period of time, and really expressed that to Danielle in a way that I think even took Danielle by surprise then, because Regina generally, is fairly healthy. And I remember her sharing about how she handled that. And so I was really glad to have that memory, that sort of a memory in my mind. So as I was experiencing the pain, and Karen Worth has also been very helpful in her gentle healing meditations from our thoughts of awakening, with the instruction, the idea that see your pain as over there. It is not, it has nothing to do with you, the truth of you, and the practices that we do in gentle healing, these meditations that Karen shares, are to reinforce a deep-seated knowing of that. And even if we have an inkling, like with this idea of, see your pain over there, was very helpful to me in not having it feel like it was incorporated into a body that I have had identified with for, most of my 62 years. So, these little things, and Regina, like I said, Regina's example of what she chose to do. And again, sometimes you can't rid yourself of the pain until something else happens, like a shot or, whatever it might be. Medication. And so that was obviously, I definitely did that. It would have been foolish not to address what was going on. At the same time, surrounding all of it, just the idea of an infection, smacks to me of, infected thoughts, just attention on maybe upsetting things, maybe my need for to control, all kinds of opportunities for reflection for sure. I didn't find that I was writing much this week. I did the tips and the actual thoughts of awakening and got to the meditations most days. But I'm trying to not trying to make excuses for myself for missing like some of the meditations, missing some of, not being fully present in reading, not being fully present with my commitment to waking up to my true self in direct experience, because this other distraction was seemed pretty loud for a while, and there were snippets of remembering, And I was grateful for that. I was grateful for that. It's better than being, completely in the muck. But it seems to be, yes, aren't we always our own worst critic? Yes, it seems to be that way, And if I'm criticizing myself, that's the energy that I then, share with the collective. And it's like, that's really not what I want to contribute, I really don't. And so it's, as Reverend Ruby spoke to this morning, forgiving ourselves. It's okay. And I was really thought Reverend Ruby had such a lovely, lovely sharing with us this morning. It was very impactful for me, and I appreciate it. So we have been reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul. And we are going to begin on page 193 at the top in a section called The Mighty Rock. We are still reading. I thought we finished. No? Hang on. Let me check something here. I guess we're still reading from... I thought we switched from Ruby Nelson. Hang on, I didn't have my... I have my marker on 193, but is this chapter 6? Ruby Nelson still? Yeah, maybe so. Wow, I thought I was done with Ruby Nelson. What do I know? That's another thing Barb said today. I love the I don't know, because I don't know. It's like, whoa. Okay, so we're going to be reading from The Mighty Rock. And last week we left off the very last paragraph, or the last two paragraphs, I'll start with on page 192, say, exercise the best judgment you can, contending with appearances. But let your thoughts and feelings continue to be focused on the everlasting perfection, which lies beneath the web of human subcreation. As you form these renewed mental habits, replacing worry and frustration with the glad song of the heart, you will at last be building on the mighty rock of faith. And so this next section, we're on page 193, again, in Experience Your Perfect Soul. It's called The Mighty Rock. The old earthly law of reaping what you sow can, of itself, be reapplied to help your consciousness rise upward. I'm going to reread that. The old earthly law of reaping what you sow can, of itself, be reapplied to help your consciousness rise upward. This law is saying plainly that if you sow tomato seeds, you will reap ripe tomatoes. If you sow love, love will be yours to reap. If you sow belief in my perfection all around you, you will reap full familiarity with this perfection. If you plant a vision of your grand cosmic self, your day of harvest will inevitably arrive. And I'm going to pause there just for a second, because I can't help but notice this speaking about, seeds and what we're sowing, and this morning, I was joining with Karen Wirth and a couple of other friends, and we're reading How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. And it was speaking about the same thing. We can't, for instance, using a tree, we can't start from, starting with knocking the leaves knocking off, then cutting the branches, and then trying to cut the trunk. And then going into the root system. It's the seed. What seed did we plant? And it's always what seed is meaning for me. There's only two choices, choice A and choice B. Where is my attention? Is it with love or is it not? Pretty simple. What seeds am I planting? And if I could find the exact piece, I would read it from How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. But I'm not going to do that right now. I'm going to return to this reading. But I just couldn't help noticing how beautiful that was. If you sow belief in my perfection all around you, you will reap full familiarity with this perfection. I love that. Because Ruby was talking, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Ruby was talking about that. Becky, you hit the button before I got out of my mouth. Yeah, Reverend Becky says it goes along with Reverend Ruby's talk today, where she talked about having a heart of love rather than of judgment. Yes, and seeing that love in our brother, loving our brothers, that's how it goes. Loving our brothers, is love of self. That's the full familiarity. It's not that old habitual tendency to think that one over there is not me. It's somebody else, separate from me, different from me, less than me, more than me, off we go down the merry trail. And so this idea of sowing belief in my perfection, my true self, and those are the seeds I'm planting within myself. That's what I will see as it grows. I'll see it all around me because that's the truth. Full familiarity. I love that. If you sow belief in my perfection all around you, even in the the ugly pussy finger, there's perfection in that. You will reap full familiarity with this perfection. If you plant a vision of your grand cosmic self, your day of harvest will inevitably arrive. If you use faith only to bring about things you know can happen, then you are in for a wonderful discovery when you put faith on the job to bring about things beyond the range of human reason. This range beyond is really the home of faith, the realm in which faith works. And it kind of reminds me of that idea from A Course in Miracles where, the ego never asks a question that it doesn't already have the answer to. To me, that's kind of what this is saying as well. If you use faith only to bring about things you know can happen, I mean, same thing. The ego using faith for its purposes to keep itself going. Under the guise of, I have faith in God or faith in greater good or faith in whatever you want to call it. But again, if you use faith only to bring about things you know can happen, then you are in for a wonderful discovery when you put faith on the job to bring about things beyond the range of human reason. This range beyond is really the home of faith, the realm in which faith works. And I think Barb spoke about it in her terms, surrendering, you know, trusting, having faith that everything that happens is for her own good. Everything, you know, and that's just a reflection for all of us. Yeah, trust that all is well. Exactly, Jim. Until enough faith is exercised to rise like incense into this range beyond, you will be unable to transcend your human level. You have used faith many times. You have used faith in troubles to bring upon yourself the things you feared. That's one to think about. You have used faith in troubles to bring upon yourself the things you feared. You may have used faith in poverty to keep yourself in want. You have used faith in limitation to hold your talents back. You have used faith in physical breakdown and old age to destroy the reality of your life force, the reality of eternal youth. You have used faith in short lifetimes to keep yourself in bondage to the cycles of birth, childhood, old age, death, rebirth, childhood, old age, death. Since faith has been used so many times to bring destruction upon yourself, you have already practiced using great and mighty faith. Now all you need to do is reverse your attitude and lend your faith to me, using it to invite the unfoldment of the sacred pattern which is trapped within your soul. Rebuilding your attitude upon the rock of faith causes it to become a firm foundation beneath your feet, which is absolutely immovable. Again, rebuilding your attitude upon the rock of faith causes it to become a firm foundation beneath your feet, which is absolutely immovable. If you want to be lifted off the wheel of cause and consequence, you must learn truth and then believe it until it is demonstrated by my spirit. Faith is more than belief. Faith means the heart has opened wide. It is radiating its dynamic vibration. It is ready to be filled with light. Yeah, our reading this morning from How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love also spoke about vibration, a dynamic vibration, and also talked about the word heart, at least for me. That's been kind of one of those iffy words for me. I haven't really used that term very much as far as let me say this, at least for most of my spiritual life, that the word heart has not really been a big part of my vocabulary. But when I saw today, I believe it was from How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love, speaking about the heart as consciousness, that was a really nice way for me to see the word heart for myself. So I love that I can say faith is more than belief. Faith means the consciousness has opened wide. And for me, that represents looking in, as opposed to my attention being completely focused outside and somehow completely ignoring the whole. It is radiating its dynamic vibration. It is ready to be filled with light. Yeah. Consciousness is ready to be filled with light. Because in my human consciousness, and I use this term with quotes around it, can be misapplied with all of my attention focused on, a story or the drama of the day, or wanting it to be different, or wishing it wasn't there, all of that. My consciousness can, in fact, be misdirected, and if I'm not paying attention, that can go on for varying amounts of time until I catch myself, in some way, shape, or form. But it's interesting to think about using faith in the various ways that misapplication. I can have faith that the world is real. I can have faith that my experiences are real, that my feelings are justified, that my feelings are me, that I really do exist here as a human in a body, that somehow the body is the primary creature that walks this and has consciousness within it. I mean, all kinds of crazy false ideas, all kinds of them that I've obviously put my faith in over the years, obviously. But now that we're and it says to bring destruction upon yourself, to bring destruction, choice B, to bring destruction, suffering upon yourself. It's like when you have an opportunity to do some self-inquiry and to look at, things like bodily pain or whatever it might be in your present experience. I guess for me, the rebuilding of the attitude on this rock of faith that provides the firm foundation, which cannot be, the rug cannot be slipped out from under my feet anymore. And there's that willingness that we talked about all day to be lifted off that wheel of cause and consequence and be open to the truth and to stop in our tracks when we notice, hey, my attitude needs to be rebuilt right here, right now. I mean, I had that happen this week in the car with my husband. He was using a car GPS, and it wasn't quite, sometimes in our neighborhood, it's not even on the GPS yet because it's a very new neighborhood. But where we were going, it wasn't quite giving him the correct directions. So I went to my phone and said I would Google it and give him directions from the phone. And we were very close to arriving at the place we needed to be. And he's and I the voice said something like, turn right in 100 feet or something to that degree. So we were, almost right on the street. And sometimes if you guys ever use those, you're like right on the street and it's telling you to turn and you're kind of like looking at your phone and trying to look for a street sign. And we were both kind of doing the opposite thing. I was looking for a street sign and I'm the one that had the phone. And he's looking at me like you should be looking at your phone. But I'm a visual person in the sense that we had been there once before. And so while he drives, I can kind of relax and look around me and just see what's around me. So that's how I identify. I was looking for a street sign. And so he reacted in a way that well, let me say this. I reacted to something he said, like, why didn't you look at your phone? Because we went he turned on the street that was the very first street, and it was actually the next street. Not even a big deal. Not even a big deal. But I immediately got defensive. Immediately. And so, when you and I immediately, I say immediately, within a couple of minutes of talking about it, I said to him, I was looking for the street sign that said Church Street, and I don't generally drive and look at my phone at the same time. I just don't do that. If I listen to the voice, but I'm not going to be looking at my phone all the time. So I was explaining my position, You got to see it my way. And he's doing the same thing. So here's the two of us over some dumb thing like that. I mean, totally retarded, really. And I recognized it, right after that. And I said, I don't know what is wrong with me sometimes. And we both laughed. And he said, I, you know, what, whatever. It's over, done. Let it go. But those energies, whether it comes up in the form of an attitude or a habit or a way of reacting, or don't look at me that way, I know what that means, or that tone of voice, or all those things. When we notice that uprising within ourselves, that, hey, I need an attitude adjustment. I need an attitude adjustment. And then in that case, we both needed an attitude adjustment, and we were willing to do that because it's so not fun to be, at odds over anything. I mean, how retarded is that? As we were on our way to Ohm, OHM Granite. Oh, the irony of it all. Yeah, but again, faith is more than belief. Faith means the heart has opened wide. It is radiating its dynamic vibration. It is ready to be filled with light. Belief widens into faith when nourished, cherished, and practiced. Faith turns into experienced knowing. The greatest deterrent to your ability to live upward is doubt. That unstable, wavering attitude that positively keeps your heart from running over. I'm going to read that again. The greatest deterrent to your ability to live upward is doubt. That unstable, wavering attitude that positively keeps your heart from running over. What happens to the water in a reservoir when its bottom is full of holes? You are a reservoir for my living waters. But if you are full of doubts, they are the same as holes. My waters leak straight through. Belief itself should be applied to things beyond the range of what seems possible. Wow, what an interesting statement that one is. Belief itself should be applied to things beyond the range of what seems possible. And I'm going to read on. Sometimes there's more clarification as I go on. Okay. Becky says, that's reaching for the stars. You know, the only thing that occurred to me was give everything to the Holy Spirit, including my beliefs, which can be, these are my words, kind of like retranslated or reapplied or repurposed even for a greater purpose. So that idea of surrender, as Barb talked about, surrendering belief in anything. If I notice a belief, it's like, oh, there's a belief, and give that one over and ask, you know, how can this belief be used maybe for a higher purpose beyond the range of what I can possibly even believe? I don't know. Okay, anyway, belief itself should be applied to things beyond the range of what seems possible. And see, my little mind wants to say, well, if it's beyond the range of what seems possible, beyond that range, I mean, I couldn't even imagine what that might be. How would I really ever really know what that means? I mean, I would just be making it up. I have no idea. I really don't know. So applying this notion of belief to that is like just a strange, it just feels a little odd to me. At any rate, I'm going to go on. It is a fact that a little bit of faith can reach a long, long way, and a little bit of belief can stimulate that little bit of faith. Appearances say hard times are always just around the corner. Expect them. And you know, because I had to go to the urgent care for my finger, we were a little bit late for an appointment that we had at the Granite Place. And when the woman saw my finger, I'm supposed to keep this finger elevated. So when the woman saw my finger elevated, she asked about it. And she, you know, apparently she could identify, because maybe had a manicure and got a nail infection from the manicurist. And this wasn't that, this was similar to that, but it aggravated into something, you know, a bit beyond even that. And so she could relate. And what does she say to me? In a very, you know, concerned, like fearful, you know, oh, that can be very dangerous, you know, something along those lines, like a couple of times. And it didn't in any way, shape, or form. I heard what she said. I accepted that she said it. I even loved that she said it, because I knew it wasn't true. It wasn't, my mindset was nowhere in that direction. Oh, like there's some sort of just huge danger with this. Because I had been practicing seeing it over there while taking care of it and trusting. So this idea that, you know, appearances Say, hard times are always just around the corner. So my little, my little wrapped thumb sticking up in the air, the appearance of that, oh, she must have had a hard time, or she must be careful. There's fear, there's some sort of something you should be afraid of. And I'm telling you, I don't want to be afraid. There's no joy there for me. There's just not. I don't really want to embrace those kinds of things that are said. And so I bless her for that opportunity to hear that and not to have the mind go on some sort of a, little tangent over, I'm going to croak from having an infected nail. But it's this, that still small voice of your indwelling consciousness says perfection is waiting for you everywhere. Turn to me in faith and let me reveal it to you. I'm going to read that again. That still small voice of your indwelling consciousness says perfection is waiting for you everywhere. Turn to me in faith and let me reveal it to you. My power within is greater than any seeming power without. This power within waits only to be applied through the channel of your faith. And I thought Reverend Ruby demonstrated that through the sharing of her stories this morning. The faith she had in each situation that she shared and did not, I was so glad that she said even the times when she forgot all of her steps or only remembered some of them or didn't do the steps until after the, whatever happened, or she didn't beat herself up for that. And she just kept going, man. And the more she practiced remembering those six steps, the more easily they came to her. And then it was like three of them would come. You know what I mean? Just that diligence and vigilance to some sort of a helpful tool that gets us back to simply resting in awareness, being with the power, not with what, not with the seeming external circumstance. The outward picture. We were told, last week and maybe even the week before to watch the habit of having your attention always be on appearances. It said, the web of appearances may be there to contend with, but let your troubled heart be still in the midst of this great storm. If you keep looking at appearances and judging difficulties to be my will, it's the same as closing off the avenue through which I help you. And I thought about that when Reverend Ruby was sharing this morning. How easily in those situations when there's an explosion of anger, like in my case, when I was like defensive and angry with my husband for pointing out that I should have been, I should have been looking at the phone rather than looking at a street sign or something to that effect. And I'm like, dude, I just went right back at him. There was no hesitation. Those kind of difficult appearances that seem to God hijack any sense of peace that may have been there, the second before it happened. But it's, or Ruby noticing and taking into inquiry and discovering the I am bad belief. I'm bad. I made a mistake. I'm bad. That's important that we recognize that. And this is saying we bring these appearances to ourself so that we can see the perfection in the appearance. See the perfection in the appearance. That's generally not been the habit of the, what is it called? The mind, that's the sub-creation of the mind, the web of appearances that the mortal mind, ego mind, weaves. It wants you to look at those appearances all the time, external to yourself. It wants you to judge all the time. It wants you to compare all the time. It wants you to blame, shame, all of it. Every choice B, remember? That's all the suffering. And I was, I felt so uplifted by Reverend Ruby sharing how she, her practice. It was obvious that that practice also brought her, I'm going to just say, some relief, you know, from the prison house of our own crazy thoughts that we have faith in and believe in and are now recognizing as unhelpful, unnecessary. Okay. My power within is greater than any seeming power without. This power within waits only to be applied through the channel of your faith. Applied, application. That's, to me, that's the key word right there, application. And that's what Reverend Ruby was demonstrating, application. You do not need to exercise faith in your ability to perform miracles. For if you will only exercise enough faith to lift your consciousness to a higher level, the miracles will take care of themselves. So again, if you will only exercise enough faith to lift your consciousness to a higher level, and that's for me, because I think that that was my reaction to myself in noticing my flared anger over this, you know, GPS thing and direction, you know, having my husband and I try to deal with directions. Turn here and turn there and don't, and GPS is not working so great and all of that. In that quick instant of what I'm going to call, as A Course in Miracles says, suspiciousness to viciousness, it was more on the viciousness end of the spectrum. I don't want to sugarcoat it, you know, if it's not love, it's hate. So there was the recognition pretty soon after that. I'm not in my right mind. That's that uplifting that seems to be occurring more naturally just because I don't want choice B. It's unpleasant. It's not the way I want to interact with myself or those I say I care about. So, yeah. So again, you do not need to exercise faith in your ability to perform miracles. For if you will only exercise enough faith to lift your consciousness to a higher level, the miracles will take care of themselves. Only by the use of great and mighty faith can you direct your mind toward me and learn to hold it there. The limited race beliefs, and again, I shared with you that Michael Lankford said it's perfectly acceptable to substitute human beliefs. So the limited race beliefs or the limited human beliefs, as you took part in them, were self-inflicted crosses which you should not have had to bear. This is the kind of faith that quickly grows into the long-sought state of conscious knowing. There is, of course, an indescribable difference between knowing me and just knowing about me. As you will shortly realize if you continue your efforts to live upward. I love that. I love that. I just love that term, living upward. And this notion of, an indescribable difference between knowing me and just knowing about me. And to me, that, upward and inward. But the indescribable difference between knowing me and just knowing about me speaks, at least to me, from the intellectual understanding of the truth of who I am. That's the, just knowing about me. Whereas the first one, knowing me, for me, that means the direct experience of knowing myself without doubt. And this says, you will realize the first knowing me. And you'll know the difference. You will realize this as you continue your efforts to live upward. It's like purification of the mind, letting go, practicing self-inquiry, meditation, contemplation, and using it, application, the word of the day, application. Faith that you can be one with me is the very magnetism which will draw you through the door of everything and let you know me fully. That was it. That was the end of that. Faith that you can be one with me is the very magnetism which will draw you through the door of everything and let you know me fully. Yeah, that was the title of Ruby Nelson's book, I believe, was The Door of Everything. And so that ends that particular piece that was called The Mighty Rock. And since I still have, I see, let's see, 219. Let me grab a drink of water here. I like the title already. The Total Stillness, it's called. I'm on page 198. We're reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul. And I'm sharing spontaneously. I don't read this ahead of time, even though I've been through this book before, cover to cover. I don't prepare anything here, so I just go with what is. I'm looking forward to this. We're on page 198, starting at the top, the total stillness. My Holy Spirit comes upon you to lift you through that door in mind after you have reached a state of total stillness. This means retiring into the closet of your consciousness, where you worship me in secret until I reward you openly. Your efforts to live upward must be accomplished in the privacy of this closet, in quietness, and in confidence. Surrender in this humble stillness is the final step toward making possible the lightning flash, which I will send to set you free. Surrender in this humble stillness is the final step toward making possible the lightning flash, which I will send to set you free. As you study and believe, pray and meditate, major strides are being taken toward removing all old fears and quieting the turbulence in the reservoir of your heart. When this turbulence is quieted, you will be transformed into a state of perfect peace. For the peace that passes understanding is one of the many treasures buried in your submerged mind. When you learn to touch this peacefulness, going back to it in meditation every time you have a chance, gradually it will become a part of surface mind, and you can enjoy its presence night and day. As more and more it is released from the deep well of your soul, you will reach the high level of consciousness where nothing can ruffle the serenity of your being. And I'm going to read that paragraph again. It's uplifting for me. When you learn to touch this peacefulness, going back to it in meditation every time you have a chance, gradually it will become a part of surface mind, and you can enjoy its presence night and day. As more and more it is released from the deep well of your soul, you will reach the high level of consciousness where nothing can ruffle the serenity of your being. It is in this total stillness that you can at last be guided by my still, small inner voice. It does not speak to you with words to be heard by your ears. It is a voice to be felt, a vibration as sweet and unmistakable as the music of the spheres. The inner wisdom center is your personal secret place. The secret place of the Most High. And if you want to become fully conscious of it, abiding in the shadow of its almighty protection, you need only to be still, very, very, very still, and practice the long lost art of listening. Wow. One more time on that. The Inner Wisdom Center, and that's a hyphenated word, wisdom hyphen center. The Inner Wisdom Center is your personal secret place, the secret place of the Most High. And if you want to become fully conscious of it, abiding in the shadow of its almighty protection, you need only to be still, very, very, very still, and practice the long-lost art of listening. Listening. Practice is the answer to anything that seems difficult, as you know so well. The painter would never learn his skill if he did not practice. The swimmer may become a champion, but not without continued practice. The carpenter's house may not be perfect if it is the first one he has built. Even the farmer with his tomato patch may grow more luscious fruit after he has gained the experience offered by the first attempts. When you tried previously to receive my inner guidance, did you listen once or twice, perhaps without much hope, and then give up in doubt? If so, practice is the answer. Sustained, sincere practice, which can become a delightful habit in almost no time at all. If you cannot quiet your ruffled feelings enough to be still and listen, while you practice, you might pray for me to help you. Think of the beautiful peace that passes understanding, and let your prayer be one of trying to comprehend this inner peace. You will soon understand that your still, small voice has two aspects to its nature. It redirects you when you wander just as reliably as it intoxicates you with its guidance. And I'm going to end right there. I left off on page 201. I just started with the very, yeah, was that, I love that. I mean, I loved everything I read. I just thought it was so beautiful. I just love this. at any rate, yeah. So I started on page 193 and ended on page 200. Yeah, the lost art of listening. Yeah, be still, be still, be still, be still. Okay, guys, thank you. I appreciate you being here with me. Bye now.